नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टुडे विल बी रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद गीता एज इट इज, चैप्टर नंबर 13, द नेचर एंजॉयर एंड द कॉन्शियसनेस, टेक्स्ट नंबर 1 and 2। अर्जुन उवाच, प्रकृतिं पुरुषं चैव क्षेत्रं क्षेत्रज्ञमेव च एतद् वेदितुमिच्छामि, ज्ञानं ज्ञेयं च केशव इति अभिधीयते। एतद्यो वेत्तु वेतितं प्राहु वेतितुं प्राहु क्षेत्रज्ञ इति तद्विदः तद्विदा। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। अर्जुन सेड, ओ माय डियर कृष्णा, आई विश टू नो अबाउट प्रकृति नेचर, पुरुष द एंजॉयर एंड द फील्ड and the knower of the field, and of knowledge, and the object of the knowledge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, this body, O son of Kunti, is called field, and one who knows this body is called the knower of the field. Purport: Arjuna was inquisitive about Prakriti, nature, Purusha, the enjoyer, Kshetra, the field, Kshetragya, its knower, and knowledge, and the object of the knowledge. When he inquired about this, Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki, when he inquired about all these, Krishna said that this body is called the field, and that one who knows this body is called the knower of the field. This body is a field of activity for the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul is entrapped in material existence, and he attempts to lord it over material nature. And so, according to his capacity to dominate material nature, he gets a field of activity. That field of activity is the body. And what is the body? The body is made up of senses. The conditioned soul wants to enjoy sense gratification, and according to his capacity to enjoy sense gratification, he is offered a body or field of activity. Therefore, the body is called Kshetra, or the field of activity for the conditioned soul. Now, the person who identifies himself with the body is called Kshetragya, the knower of the field. It is not very difficult to understand the difference between the field and its knower. The body and the knower of the body. Any person can consider that from childhood to old age, he undergoes so many changes of body, and yet he is still one person remaining. Thus, there is a difference between the knower of the field of activities and the actual field of activities. A living conditioned soul can thus understand that he is different from the body. It is described in the beginning, Dehinosmin yatha dehe, that the living entity is within the body, and the body is changing from childhood to boyhood, and from boyhood to youth, and from youth to old age. The owner is distinctly Kshetragya. Sometimes we think, I am happy, I am a man, I am a woman, I am a dog, I am a cat. These are the bodily designations of the knower. But the knower is different from the body. Although we may use many articles, our clothes, etc., we know that we are different from the things used. Similarly, we also understand by a little contemplation that we are different from the body. I or you or anyone else who owns this body is called Kshetragya, the knower of the field of activities. And the body is called Kshetra, the field of activities itself. In the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the knower of the body, the living entity, and the position by which he can understand the Supreme Lord are described. In the middle six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the relation between the individual soul and super soul in regard to devotional service are described. The superior position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the subordinate position of the individual soul are definitely defined in these chapters. The living entities are subordinate under all circumstances, but in their forgetfulness, they are suffering. When enlightened by pious activities, they approach the Supreme Lord in different capacities, as the distressed, those in want of money, inquisitive, and those in search of knowledge. That is also described. Now starting with the 13th chapter, how the living entity comes into contact with material nature and how he is delivered by the Supreme Lord through the different methods of fruitive activities, cultivation of knowledge, and discharge of devotion service are described. Although the living entity is completely different from the material body, he somehow becomes related. This is also explained. Hare Krishna. So today we'll be beginning all new chapter, Nature, the Enjoyer and the Consciousness. So this particular chapter, number 13, it has been explained by many senior devotees like Gurujan Prabhu, that this particular chapter, number 13, describes Jnana Yoga. We saw from chapter number 6 to 13, Krishna explained Bhakti Yoga in very detail. And all of a sudden, after 12th chapter, in this 13th chapter, we find that Krishna is describing Jnana Yoga. Now, our understanding is that Bhakti Yoga is the culmination of the yoga ladder, isn't it? Then, why is it that Krishna is again starting up or is presenting again Jnana Yoga over here in chapter number 13? It is because Gurujan Prabhu nicely explains that in 12th chapter, Krishna promises that Tesham Aham Samudharta Mrityu Samsara Sagaram, that for those who are completely devoted in my devotional service, I become their swift deliverer. So for that reason, in this particular section from chapter number 13 to 18, Krishna fulfills this promise by supplying all the living entities, or those who are the readers of Bhagavad Gita, the knowledge, the philosophical understanding which is necessary to extricate oneself from the material existence, from this material entanglement. And therefore, this section is called as Jnana Yoga, because it provides the soul the knowledge about the Prakriti, Purusha, Jnana, and about the Kshetra and Kshetrajna. And Gurujan Prabhu explains that although this particular chapter is called as Jnana Yoga, but actually speaking, the whole Bhagavad Gita is nothing but Bhakti Yoga. Because ultimately, the whole purpose of all these instructions is to surrender ourselves unto the Lord. And if you see the first six chapters, Krishna explains about how one can achieve Bhakti, or how one can surrender oneself by renouncing one's fruits of activities. That is karma yoga. Krishna explains in first six chapters about karma yoga. And in another section or the bunch of six chapters from 6 to 12, Krishna is exclusively speaking about bhakti yoga. Directly, how to surrender unto him. And in this particular section, Krishna is speaking about knowledge or bhakti through knowledge. So, ultimately, if we see, although Krishna is explaining about Jnana Yoga in this chapter, it is directed towards surrender unto the Lord. And therefore, even though this knowledge may be speaking about many other things, but because it is for one's detachment from matter or from material energy and subsequent attachment to Krishna, therefore, this knowledge becomes the part of pure bhakti. And for that reason, Krishna has, if you see the first six chapters are speaking about karma yoga, and last six chapters are speaking about jnana yoga, and the middle six chapters are speaking about bhakti yoga. It is very significant because Bhurijanpur explains that, because this section of bhakti yoga comes in between jnana and bhakti and karma yoga, it is touching both the sections, jnana and karma. And because of its touch to jnana and karma, this jnana and karma gets its value because of the touch of bhakti from both the sides. It has been explained that Bhagavad Gita is like a sandwich. When you have a sandwich, you have three loaves. One loaf is up and one loaf is down. And in between there is stuffing. So if you don't have stuffing in sandwich, the whole sandwich becomes very dry. So the main ingredient of the sandwich is the stuffing. Similarly, this knowledge of bhakti that Krishna has stuffed in between gives the real value, or you can say is the real stuffing of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, it is called as most confidential knowledge. And it is only because of this touch, Bhurijanpur says, that this jnana and karma has some importance. Because if one has simply knowledge but doesn't have understanding of Krishna or bhakti yoga, then that karma, the knowledge about karma or knowledge, simple knowledge or jnana yoga, doesn't have any significance. Like in Hari Bhakti Sudhodha, it is explained, Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya Jati Shastra Japastapa Apranyasya Iva Dehasya Mandalam Lokananjanam. That if someone has, one is born in a great family, he has high birth, or one is well equipped with knowledge of the Shastras, Jati, Shastra, Japas, of one is doing lot of penances, austerities, Tapa, Japas, Tapa, or one is doing Tapa, or one is doing lot of Japa, is meditating, going in jungles. But if it is Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya, it is devoid of devotional service to the Lord, then it is Apranyasya Ihadehasya. It is as good as ornamentation done on the dead body, which has no use. If you have a dead body and if you apply nice makeup or lipstick or nice ornamentation on it, then it is very foolish. So therefore, jnana and yoga, or even for that matter, executing of even our occupations, like Srimad Bhagavatam says, धर्मस्व अनुतिष्ट पुंसा विश्वक्सेन कथासु यः न उत्पादयेत् यतिरतिम् श्रम एव हि केवलम्. दैट इफ वन इज परफॉर्मिंग हिज ऑक्युपेशनल ड्यूटीज प्रॉपरली, हिज प्रेस्क्राइब ड्यूटीज इज डूइंग प्रॉपरली, बट इफ इट इज नॉट encouraging or if it is not developing one's surrender unto the Supreme Lord. Na udpadayad yati ratim, if it is not developing or cultivating one's attachment towards the Lord, it is called as shrama eva hi kevalam. It is useless hard labor. And therefore, it is very important that whatever our knowledge is, or whatever our activities are, should culminate with surrendering ourselves to the Supreme Lord. Like Krishna says that sarvasachaham hridisannivishto matta smritir gyanam apohanamscha vedaischa sarver aham eva vedyo vedanta krit veda videha chaham, that I am the source of knowledge and I am to be known from whatever the sources of knowledge are there. I am the goal of that knowledge. Vedasya sarvam aham eva vedyo. But all the Vedas, one should be known is me. And for that reason, the gyan or karma gets any importance. So for that reason, Krishna over here is nicely explaining about a Jnana Yoga in this particular chapter. And Krishna or Arjuna here starts with a question. And in this first question, he inquires about six different things. And what are these six different things? Prakriti, Purusha, Kshetra, Kshetragya, and Jnana Geyam. There are six different things that Krishna is inquiring from the Lord. Prakriti, the material nature. Purusha, the supreme enjoyer. Kshetra, the material body. Kshetragya, that is the knower of this field. Kshetra means the field of activities, and Kshetragya means the knower of the field of activities. And Jnana, the knowledge, and Geyam, the object which is to be known with this knowledge. So, Arjuna is inquiring about these six different things, and Krishna very nicely answers. Krishna is explaining two things here, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the body, O son of Kunti, is a field. Krishna is directly speaking about what? Kshetra and Kshetragya. Krishna says that Kshetra is nothing but this body, material body. And one who knows this body is called the knower of the field, or Kshetragya, which is Jiva, the soul. So in this particular answer, we can easily understand that Kshetra is something different from Kshetragya, this material body, or the field of activities, is different from the knower. Isn't it? Generally, people have this understanding that we are this body. Or people are under illusion that our existence is but nothing but the existence of this body. And they are completely ignorant about something which is different from this material body. That is Kshetragya, one who knows, one who can easily see the activities of this material body. Like Prabhupada explains that it is not something difficult. Prabhupada says that you know, from Dehinosmin Yathadehe, Prabhupada quotes the shloka, that how we can see that when we were small, a 1 year old boy, we were having small body. And then as the time passes, as we are growing, the number of years are passing, the body changes. But we are the same. When we see our photograph of childhood, we see, oh, I am the same person. I don't believe this. There are so many changes in my body. So that means you are something different from this body. And this you is nothing but Kshetragya. And Kshetra is this material body. Why it is called Kshetra? Very nicely explained by Prabhupada. The Kshetra is nothing but what is field? Field is somewhere, is a place where we perform activities, isn't it? We have cricket fields, we have a ground wherein cricket has been played, we have field wherein, you know, crops are being grown, isn't it? The vegetables are being grown. And, you know, Bhurijan Prabhu was explaining that, you know, what do we sow and what do we get in the fields, basically? And he was explaining, as we sow, so shall we reap. So if we put the seeds of some vegetable or some fruit, you will get accordingly that particular vegetable or fruit. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this particular body is called a field of activities because the living entity's happiness and distress is cultivated within this body. Like Prabhupada says that, you know, if you have a big agricultural field and you have a farmer ploughing in it, this particular field, and according to what seeds he put in that field, he get that particular result. Similarly, one gets what kind of body? According to his past karma. Whatever kind of activities one has performed, one gets that kind of body. And subsequently, the pains and pleasures which are related to that particular body. Every body has a set of pains and pleasures. It has its limitations of pain and pleasures. Like for example, if you have an earthworm, it can't dance and party like a human being, isn't it? A human body. It will only, you know, go around in the mud, and when the sand, when the rain comes, it comes out, and then again goes into the earth. But as far as human body is concerned, it has a different dimension of dimensions of enjoyment and sufferings, isn't it? So it is this particular field of activity or this body, one's pains and pleasures depends upon what kind of body one has. So Krishna explains about Kshetra and then Kshetragya, the knower of this particular body, that is the soul which is residing within this material body, the field of activities, who is performing different activities into this field. He has been entrapped within this field of activities. He has been entrapped within this material body. And this particular conditioned soul who has been, who is residing within this material body, is performing activities and he is getting accordingly various pains and pleasures in his life. Then Krishna explains about then Prabhupada also explains about Kshetragya. Like there are two types of Kshetragya. The knower of the body or this field of activities. One is the individual soul, we all. And there is also another Kshetragya, that is the super soul. But this particular Kshetragya is superior to the individual soul. In what way? The individual soul only knows, or he has knowledge of his own body. But the super soul, who is the superior Kshetragya, knows everything which is happening within every body. Because that same super soul is residing within each and every body. The super soul is nothing but the expansion of the Lord, Paramatma, the plenary portion of the Lord, the localized, who is spread out in all the living entities. And this super soul is in complete knowledge of what is happening around in each and every body. Like Krishna in Bhagavad Gita explains to Arjuna that, you know, when Arjuna asks some question that how is it that you know everything, you know, about your past life? Krishna explains in fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita that I have only instructed the same knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to the Sun God. Then Arjuna asks, how do you know about your previous lives? And Krishna says, Bahuni me vetitani janmani tavacha Arjuna, tani aham veda sarvani natvam veta parantapaha. That although you and me have taken many births, Arjuna, Bahuni me vetitani janmani tavacha Arjuna, tani aham veda sarvani, but I know everything. Whatever bodies or whatever external manifestations I have taken, I know about each and every manifestation of mine. Natvam veta parantapa, but you will never know. You only know about your own self. But Krishna, because he is the supreme knowledgeable personality, he is the super soul within everyone's heart. He knows, he has knowledge of all the bodies, all the kshetras. And therefore he is called as the super soul or the supreme kshetragya. So, kshetragyam evacha. And Arjuna also asked about jnana and geyam. What is jnana, knowledge? And geyam, what is to be known? Who is the object of all this knowledge? So, as we explained already, that how knowledge is nothing. We have different streams of knowledge, isn't it? We have so many universities and so many branches of science and engineering, and so many different streams of knowledge are there. But Prabhupada explains that if these streams or all these fields of knowledge, if they are not able to make one understand about their own self, about the prakriti, the material nature around him, and the Supreme Lord, about the soul, the Supreme Lord, and the nature, then that knowledge has no validity. It is as good as ignorance. Like Prabhupada once went to MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. It is considered to be one of the very elite institutes of technology. And over there, Prabhupada was been interviewed by one of the reporters. So, Prabhupada asked him that, this is MIT, but where is the knowledge about the Almighty? the Almighty Supreme Lord. You have so many big institutes and so many thick books which are explaining about the material nature. But where is the knowledge which explains the understanding about the whole, the body which you are possessing, the material nature and your own identity? If someone is ignorant about his own identity, then it can lead to complete bewilderment of that person, isn't it? So therefore, perfect knowledge is to have this understanding about one's own self, the material nature around him, and the Supreme Lord. And Gayam means the object of the knowledge. As I have already explained about how Krishna explains that Sarvasya Chaham Rudisannivishto Matta Smritir Jnanam Apohanamsya Vedasya Sarver Aham Eva Vedyo Vedantakrit Veda Videva Chaham. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that if someone is studying Vedas very scrutinizingly, and he may, you know, have verbatim all the Vedanta sutras and all the shlokas in the Vedas, but if he doesn't come to the understanding or conclusion that ultimately I have to worship the Supreme Lord, if that understanding is not there, then Krishna considers that knowledge to be invalid, or it is of no use. Because Vedasya Sarver Aham Eva Vedyo. Ultimately, the whole Vedas or the knowledge of the Vedas is to understand me. So, that is the explanation of these six things that Arjuna is inquiring about. And the whole main theme of this particular chapter is to, you know, understanding the reality means to know matter, the spirit and the Supreme Lord in the perspective. This is the main theme of this whole chapter. To understand matter, the spirit soul and the Supreme Lord. So, Krishna in this particular, when Krishna is answering Arjuna's question, he is just speaking, or he has directly jumped to Kshetra and Kshetrajna. The first two, Prakriti and Purusha, Krishna didn't explain or didn't answer. The Bhurijanpu was telling that these two particular topics about the material nature and Purusha, the Supreme Lord, are very expansive subject matters. So Krishna preferred to first speak about the basic things. Matter, the spirit, soul, and basic knowledge. And then, you know, it can be explained. So therefore, first Krishna explains about the material body and the knower of this material body. Prabhupada nicely explained in this particular purport about how, you know, this body is the field of activity for the conditioned soul. And the conditioned soul is entrapped in material existence, and he attempts to lord it over material nature. So Prabhupada is nicely explaining how the conditioned soul is entrapped within this material body. And through the different resources of this body, that is the senses, we have six senses through which the conditioned soul experiences different types of pains and pleasures in his life. Tongue, eyes, ears, nose, touch. And it is explained that the conditioned souls they are entrapped by these different experiences of pains and pleasure that they are deriving from these different senses. The conditioned soul is very much attached to this material body. And therefore it is said that he is entrapped within this material existence. Like Bhagavad Gita explains, Bhogaishwarasa prasaktanam taya apaharta chetasam vyavasayatmika buddhi samadhavna vidhyate. Bhoga and Aishwarya. Bhoga means material enjoyment and Aishwarya means attachment to material opulences. Bhoga Aishwarasa prasaktanam. The conditioned soul is very much attached or attracted by these two things, Bhoga and Aishwarya. And prasaktanam is too much attached. Taya apaharta chetasam. And because of this attachment, what happens is his memory is completely bewildered. His knowledge is bewildered. And for that reason, vyavasayatmika buddhi samadhavna vidhyate. And because of this attachment, the conditioned soul is unable to surrender himself to the Lord. Vyavasayatmika buddhi samadhavna vidhyate. He doesn't have that one pointed focus attention for surrendering himself to the Lord. Why? Because of this strong experiences of pains and pleasure, attachment to the material sense gratification. Like one of the, I don't know which Shastra or which particular book is this, but it gives a beautiful analogy of one particular animal. It explains that bandhanani khalu santi bahuni premaraju dhruda khalu bandhana daru bheda nipunopi sharangrir nishkriya bhavanti pankaja koshe. It explains that bandhananu khalu santi bahuni, that among different kind of attachment, entanglements, the entanglement which is caused due to attachment is very strong. And then it gives a wonderful example of a bumblebee. Daru bhedu nipunopi shadangrir. Shadangrir means a bumblebee. As we all know, a bumblebee, it loves extracting nectar from different flowers, and then it stores it in a beehive. So bumblebee, when it sits on one particular, for example, a lotus flower, and when it is sucking the nectar, it is engrossed sucking the nectar from that lotus flower. And what happens is, we know that lotus flower, it closes when the sun sets down. It closes its petals. So this bumblebee is so much engrossed in extracting the nectar from this lotus flower that it doesn't even realizes that, the sun is setting down and the lotus flower is closing down. Okay, even if the lotus petals close down, it is explained that this shadangrir or the bumblebee, it is daru bheda nipunopi. It has the capacity to pierce through the bark of the wood or of the tree. It can easily pierce the thick layer of wood. Daru bheda nipunopi nishkriya bhavanti pankaja koshe. But although it has the capacity to pierce the lotus petals, but still it becomes completely immobilized because of that attraction and ultimately dies of suffocation within that flower. So similarly, it is said that the Kshetrajna, or the soul which is residing within this kshetra, within this material body, it is spiritual by nature. And it can easily transcend the three material modes of nature. It can easily transcend this material universe only by the practice of devotional service. But just because of its attachment to this material body, just like this bumblebee was attached to the attraction of, or it was attached to the enjoyment that it was getting from extracting the nectar. Similarly, the soul, the individual soul, which is spiritual by nature, although it has capacity to transcend this material universe, just because of the enjoyment it is extracting through this material body, it is entrapped within this material world. And that's how it is, the individual soul is trapped within this material world and encaged within this material body. Just like, you know, in villages and all, you know, there is a peculiar technique which is used for trapping the monkeys. You know, these monkey trappers, they keep a heavy pot, a transparent pot, and in that pot they put ground nuts and different delicious foodstuffs. And this pot has a very narrow neck, and they keep it in an open field so that the monkeys are attracted. And the monkey, seeing that foodstuff, immediately gets attracted. And to get that foodstuff, they put their hand within that pot and they catch hold of that foodstuff. Now, because of the formation of the fist, what happens is they are not able to remove their hand. Now, although they know that if I don't remove my hand, there will be someone who may catch me, but again he is too much attracted by the taste of that ground nuts or whatever it is put inside. So he prefers holding on to that ground nuts than releasing it and removing his hand. And that's how he gets trapped, and he's been caught by the monkey trappers. So attachment to the sense gratification leads, he's entrapping to the in this material world. So therefore, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam also explains about how just because of attraction to the material sense gratification, the soul is been entrapped in this material world. In second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is explained that how, you know, Sukadev Goswami is explaining that deha apatya kaladrishva atma sainyesho asat api teshan pramattu nidhanam pashyan api na pashyati. That the soul, it is attached to deha apatya kalatra adishva. The attachment of the soul is not only limited to his body, but it also extends the paraphernalia which are related to this body. Deha apatya. Apatya means apatya means children, kalatra, wife, and adishva, and etc., etc., etc. Atma sainyeshva api asat api. Atma sainyeshu asatva api. It is explained that this conditioned soul who is attracted to all these things, body and the different paraphernalia which are attached to this body, he considers that all these things will protect me. my wife, my children, my wealth. But as we know, the time factor, it destroys everything that comes in its way. And it is explained that tesham pramatto nidhanam pashyanapina pashyati. It is explained that because of his attachment to all these things, although he is seeing, pashyanapina pashyati, he could not see. He is not able to see the bitter facts of life. Further, Sukadeva Goswami very nicely explains that how this particular conditioned soul who is entrapped within his material body spends his time. He explains that Nidraya Riyate Naktam Vyavayachana Vayaha Divacharthena Rajan Kutumba Bharaninava. That sleep, night has been spent in sleeping, Nidrayate Riyate Naktam Vyavayachana Vayaha. Or it is spent in having sex life. Divacharthena Rajan, the day is spent in what? Kutumba Bharanenava. In making money to maintain his family members. So that is how this particular conditioned soul who is attached to this body and different paraphernalia of this body, he wastes his valuable human form of life in mundane activities. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam explains that one should cultivate knowledge. That is what Krishna is speaking about. Jnanam. The kshetragya or the soul, if he has proper knowledge about jnana and gyayam, then he can easily detach himself from the kshetra or this material body. And that is what Krishna is explaining in Bhagavad Gita, that shraddhavan labate jnanam tat paretvena tat para sametendriya. Krishna is telling that by the dint of knowledge, O Arjuna, control your senses. And what will happen? Na chirena adi gacchati. Krishna says that if you are able to control your senses by this knowledge, then you will easily attain peace quickly. And at the end of this particular chapter, fourth chapter, Krishna explains that tasmad ajnana sambhutam jnanasin atman. What is that? Tasmad ajnana sambhutam. Krishna says that by the weapon of this knowledge, you cut down all the ignorance and develop the knowledge. So, for the conditioned soul to come out from this attachment from this material body, he has to first of all develop knowledge. And by this knowledge, he has to cultivate his detachment from this body, and subsequently he has to cultivate his attachment towards Krishna. And only if he cultivates his attachment for Krishna can he be actually detached from this material body and this material world. So I think we are running short of time, but you know, it is said that as prasanga majaram pasham atmana kavayo vidu. This beautiful shloka is there, wherein Krishna is explaining that prasangam ajaram pasham atmana kavayo vidu sa eva sadusho kruto moksha dvara apavrata. That if someone prasanga majaram pasham, that amongst all the different attachments, atmana kavayo vidu, it is someone who is attached to this body can lead to the entanglement within this material world. But if the same attachment, sa eva sadhusho krito, if the same attachment is directed towards a sadhu, then what happens? His doors to liberations can easily open. Sa eva sadhusho krito moksha dvaro apavritaha. So that is basically the theme of this particular shloka. To gain perfect knowledge about kshetra, kshetragya, and to understand what is real knowledge and the goal of the knowledge, by which one can detach himself from this material body and return back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.